OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. The OTB Podcast Network.
Ninth year of Electric Ireland's sponsorship of the GEA Minor Championships that was launched today. And I'm delighted to say that Dublin legend Jason Sherlock is with us. How are you getting on, Jason?
I'm good on. This wasn't around when I was a minor, that's for sure.
A bit of a shame. You would have picked up a couple of minor star awards.
I don't know about that now. We came up against a pretty talented Galway team that a few guys went on to have good careers, and Kerry, they also had a really strong team back then. But it wasn't about awards. And in a lot of ways, it's a lot more than just awards. It's a great time for any kind of formative young boy or girl playing Gaelic football or hurling. And I certainly enjoyed my time as a minor, and I was lucky enough to get involved with development squads and manage a minor team. So it's a great age to be involved in, be it as a player or as a supporter or coach.
For sure, I can imagine. Does it feel weird to even be looking forward to a GEA season on, what is it now, the middle of October, and considering if Dublin can go for six in a row at senior level and having these conversations in October? It does feel strange, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, and I haven't even got that far about Dublin's ambitions. It's more whether we can, we should. Like, a lot of people are kind of trying to position, are we right or where are we wrong? And it's very hard to get into that definitive at the moment because it has been such a movable feast. I think the priority has to be the health of individuals. That's first and foremost. And as we've seen, that has changed from week to week, from day to day. So I can absolutely see why there are challenges against playing sport, but the other side is, as Irish people, as sports people, it would be great to have an outlet where we could see GAA. We saw it with the club stuff. I know there was a bit of bad press towards the end of it, but just to have that outlet, that social outlet where you didn't just have to talk about the latest COVID numbers, that you had something else to talk about. So I would feel it would be great if there is a championship, and let's hope there is. But at the same time, it has to be based on the safety of the individuals involved.
And sometimes those things are so intertwined, you can't separate them. Like, even if we're talking about Ireland this week at football, like, it's impossible to talk about that conversation without talking about the COVID tests. And that is sort of how you start to feel about the GEA and how we all really wanted to come back. And the key difference, I guess, is that GEA players aren't going to be travelling abroad. They're going to be fairly refined to Ireland, totally refined to Ireland. And that hopefully gives a little bit of hope, because I think you're right. I think that while it may not seem important right now, I think as supporters and anybody who's a big fan of their county, once that ball is thrown in, I do think you forget about everything else that's happening. I do think it is a genuine sort of escapism.
Yeah, and we need that. We're a nation that's been immersed in all forms of sport, and obviously GAA is right at the forefront of that. And again, through this whole process, the GAA community, like, it has shown so much positivities of what the GAA community can do, be it assisting people with charities and various things. So I just think from a participating perspective, both for our underage minors we're talking about, or senior, from the wellness point of view, it is so important that these young boys and girls have an outlet. And I've no doubt that anyone involved in inter-county, senior inter-county hurling or football, it's a prime focus of theirs as well. And I suppose it's a release and a getaway of the reality that we're currently in.
Can we assume that it will go ahead for the next few minutes? And can we chat a little bit about this Dublin squad at the moment? Because there is an argument out there, and I think everybody looks around for an argument to try and take down the Dubs every year to give everybody else a little bit of hope going into the championship. But one of the arguments out there is that a change in management team will take them a little while to get used to. And I wonder if actually there's been such a player-led environment that has been created in Dublin over the last 5 or 6 years that actually the change in management won't have anywhere near as much of an impact in Dublin as it would in any other county. I wonder, do you go along with that?
I can see both sides of it. I think for any manager coming in on the back of the team being as successful as they have been over the last number of years, that's going to provide challenges, obviously, because I suppose players might be used to doing things a certain way, etc. Obviously, then the new management team, they came in quite late into the year, and then obviously things have been shut down, so they haven't had as much time, I'm sure, as they would have liked to prepare the team and get them used to their ideas and their kind of vision for the team. On the flip side of that is maybe the extended break has kind of given that distinction between the old regime versus the new regime. And again, I think I can see both sides of that. It's absolutely fair for anyone that's interested in Gaelic football to kind of think about what impact it will have on Dublin. But like all teams, these are very unusual circumstances. Mm. It's going to be a totally different dynamic in terms of the format of the championship, playing in front of no crowds, etc. So that is going to have an impact on teams. And then obviously we might have situations like the Irish soccer team where players might be able to play or whatever. So yeah, it's all new, and I suppose it'll be whatever team can respond in the right way will prosper.
Can I ask you about that player-led environment then, the idea that they might be a little bit more resistant to outside forces? From your experience in the camp over the last few years, it seems that there was a movement towards creating that player-led environment. Not that it didn't already exist, but it definitely got stronger, it seemed, down through the years. Is that true, and how long did that take?
I don't know. I think like all management teams, you have philosophies and beliefs. And I think certainly between Jim and Declan Darcy, who have been there, obviously, as you know, for so long. And I was lucky enough to get involved in 2015. I think Jim's definition of leadership is to serve, you know, to serve in the best way. And that's not about telling. That's about joining and collaborating and letting individuals figure things out for themselves. So definitely that kind of developed as years went by, and as obviously guys had experiences. Lucky enough, a lot of them were positive experiences, but certainly they could build on experience after experience to give them, I suppose, the confidence that they can kind of lead and they can go directions. But it all comes down to that care piece, that they care about Dublin as a county and what the jersey means to represent Dublin. They also have a deep care and, I suppose, ambition to improve themselves from day to day. And I don't see that changing regardless of who is managing them. And I suppose it's to their credit that the perceived success that they've had over the last number of years, so far it hasn't really impacted them on the pitch.
I guess it helps as well when you have characters like Kevin McManaman in the squad who have actual expertise in areas to take talks in mindfulness or helping the mindset of his teammates and actually having that expertise within the playing group. That's an unbelievable amount of assets to have on that level.
Yeah, well, like every individual brings something to the table. And I think you look at the Darren Daly, who retired recently, you saw the kind of outpour of the team, his teammates, about the impact that he had. And again, that's someone that maybe from outside you wouldn't really appreciate or value the impact that he's making into the team. So I'd like to think that we allowed all individuals to prosper in their own way, and I suppose that added to the mix and the blend that the guys have and the levels of performance the guys have given over the last number of years.
For a moment, could we go back to the start of your time with the Dublin management team, and I guess post 2014 when Jim Gavin comes to you? How does that conversation go? How quickly after that season in 14 do you know that you're going to be involved for 2015?
I wouldn't know the exact specifics, but sure. I do remember Jim reaching out probably like in the winter of 2014, and initially it was just a cup of coffee, and he kind of had a thought or an idea and a suggestion of me getting involved. So I suppose initially, and I said it to him at the time, my heart was kind of saying just shake his hand and say absolutely, but I suppose my head was more concerned about what I could actually add, because at that stage I'd very little sports coaching background behind me. I'd obviously been a former player, things didn't finish the way some of the guys are finishing now, so I had to kind of weigh that stuff up as well. But I suppose I'd just been just graduated from DCU doing an MBA, and I suppose in that MBA you reflect a lot upon yourself in terms of where you are as an individual, and from a leadership perspective what you can bring to the table. So I was actually able to apply a lot of my learnings from the MBA from DCU into my sports coaching, and that certainly helped me at the very start. So again, once I got the clarity of my what my role might be with Jim, after that it was over to me to kind of, I suppose, win the trust of the players and try to add value in any way that I could.
I presume finding the trust of the players wasn't a difficulty for you at all, given how they would have probably idolised you as a footballer when they were growing up.
Well, that's quite emotional in terms of a sports fan. Like, and Again, I'd hate the guys to think, oh, well, I have to listen to him because he played for Dublin. From my point of view, it was adding value to them. It wasn't about me as a player. It was about me understanding their challenges and how, I suppose, I could put a mirror in front of them to see, well, where are your opportunities to improve both individually and then, I suppose, collectively as a team. So that was my goal, my mission, I suppose. It would be nice, and I'm sure some of the guys obviously supported Dublin through the more barren years. So obviously that was nice that there was that connection, and I would have obviously played with a lot of those guys. But certainly I saw my role to be the best coach for the players and to serve the players as best as I could.
When you say at the start you weren't sure if there was much you could add to Jim Gavin's team, how quickly do you realise then that actually you're contributing quite a lot and actually I'm not half bad at what I do in this camp?
I don't know whether I've got to that stage. No, like my job was to kind of understand what those guys were doing, and ultimately it was about kind of understanding how they were playing the game and what they were trying to do, and see how we could improve. For me, it probably in hindsight was a blessing in disguise that Dublin were beaten in 2014, because potentially Jim mightn't have come calling if Dublin had beaten Donegal, who knows. But certainly I felt from the outset that there was an appetite, not only from Jim and Declan, but also an appetite from the players, that obviously, like with all adversity, we need to improve and we need to get better if we so decide. And I certainly from day one I felt accepted, and people were willing to give me the opportunity to talk. I suppose then it was over to me to ensure that what I spoke had impact and made sense to the players.
How big was that 2014 loss in the way you as a management team thought about the game and the way Dublin would approach things from 2015 onwards?
I'd like to think that 2014 had a big impact, no different than kind of all the years after that. But I think the fact, and people will refer to it because it was the last championship loss, it obviously had a significant impact. And like all games, if you do reflect on them, there's a lot of learning there. That's not only in defeats, that's in successes. And I suppose that's been the beauty of this team, that even in the successful games, we really trawled back and tried to get the learnings and the improvements. We didn't just accept because the scoreboard said we won that was good enough. So it was definitely the case in 2014 that the guys, obviously it was obviously a big defeat. It was very disappointing, but they were willing to dust themselves off and kind of reflect on it in the sense of, well, how can we ensure that this doesn't happen again? So again, without going into specifics, it was more the mindset that we needed to improve, because as Donegal proved that it wasn't going to be good enough to win on any given day.
That's interesting, because I definitely thought that it was less to do with the mindset and more to do with maybe, I guess, getting caught a couple of times by Donegal tactically, because I know Pat Gilroy likes to use the phrase emotional hijacking quite a bit, and Bernard Brogan put it in his book. And after 2009, they felt that they were emotionally hijacked by Kerry, and then come 2011, they had done that to Kerry. But come 2014, it was almost a situation where Jim had taken, I don't know, responsibility for the defeat, and that there was a difference of a game plan to look into for the following year. But there was obviously a mental aspect to all of that as well. So what were those mental reasons for why that happened in 2014?
Well, I wasn't involved in 2014, sure. So I suppose I can only comment from the outside looking in. And I think, obviously, the guys played a certain style at that stage, and full credit to Donegal. They came up with a game plan that they felt would counteract Dublin's style. I think what Dublin did and what we tried to do from game after game was to evolve and to be comfortable with the situations we might find ourselves in. I think it's no secret that the majority of teams play against Dublin, they are overly defensive, and I think that was a challenge that Dublin had to figure out. And I'd like to think, and I take a lot of satisfaction to see the players being able to kind of look at a setup or a strategy and to be able to kind of deal with it, and in a lot of ways deal with it comfortably, because I think as a sports fan we like to see like open attacking football, and it was great for a team to unlock the kind of defensive challenge. And I think that's something that Dublin came to terms with over the last number of years, and they actually enjoyed when a team set up defensively against them.
Was there a moment when you felt that, all right, this is clicked now, that those defensive systems, we know how to do this? But was there a eureka moment almost when you realised that it worked?
Well, but before that, it was, going back to the players in terms of how willing they were to learn and adapt and improve. Like, because you're talking about talented guys that had back medals in their back pocket, but their kind of understanding and commitment to get better and to kind of play to the benefit of the team was so impressive over those years. And it really was putting layer upon layer, both from a practice point of view, but also like from an analysis point of view, understanding the challenges and what the options were. I suppose in terms of how that output, I think the obvious one would be against Tyrone in the semi-final. I'm not sure what year it was, but again, the perception of how the Tyrone play, and they played to that system, and it's always been a very hard challenge for any team to break down. But I think it was quite satisfying seeing the team go out, understand what the challenge was, and to be able to kind of counteract it. I think that was an enjoyable day on the sideline.
Definitely. And that's the essence of management, isn't it? The essence
You're
of coaching.
Saying definitely as a Kerry man to see it, or definitely for me.
Definitely from your perspective. No, okay. I do remember that. 2017, I definitely remember, use that word again, just like how earth-shattering that performance was for everybody else in terms of what we expected from that game, because I guess the other semi-final that year had been so even, it had gone to a replay, and then there was just this really complete performance where the best team in the country had taken another step up, and it was, I guess, a little bit, it was terrifying for everybody else who was looking on and seeing what was happening that day. But I guess just from a coach's perspective, you say that it was satisfying to see it all come together. Like, that has to be as good as it gets as a coach, actually knowing what your plan was and seeing that plan executed to perfection and getting a big win as a result.
I wouldn't say perfection. I think there was definitely there was periods of that game where I think, and like, we would have challenged ourselves and we would have seen the areas to improve. And I think like one of the challenges of not being there is that you don't have that opportunity to improve from game after game. And definitely I like all games. And I mentioned like the Donegal 2014 had loads of learnings. I've no doubt that game had loads of learnings as well, as did the games last year. And I suppose that's the evolution, and that's the constant commitment to improving that those guys have. And I've no doubt that whatever we did last year isn't going to cut it this year, that those guys will have the thought process and the mindset. And I'd like to think they'll have the creativity to have a new and improved performance this year.
Did you ever get close to perfection, do you think? What was the performance that came closest?
There was certainly, and again, I need to put this in context. This was an exceptional team who have performed exceptionally over the last number of years, and obviously the success will demonstrate that. But like for me, I suppose, did we seek perfection? Probably not. Is perfection attainable? Probably not. But there's certainly periods of games over the last 5 years that just to be able, you mentioned that word satisfying, that have been really satisfying. And for me, that wasn't just in All-Ireland finals. You could go back into Leinster Championship games first round where, okay, the scoreboard might have been one-sided, but like looking at the guys perform to a level, the understanding, the teamwork, the option taking, they took. That to me was where I got the buzz and the energy, knowing how those guys prepared to kind of to perform the way they did. So certainly they did it in patches, but there's still a bit of room for improvement, I would have thought.
Right, well, that is a truly terrifying signal of intent to everybody else that the 5 in a row Dubs can get even better. Jason, what's next for you personally? I presume you've had time to think this year. Everybody's had a bit of time to think this year. Have you distilled your thoughts down over the last few years in working in that setup into something that has developed into targets over the next little while, or what, where is your mindset at?
Yeah, so like I would have done a lot of reflection on the last number of years and kind of try to, I suppose, reflect on it in a way that I can bring it with me onto the next chapter, whatever that is. I think when you come out of an environment like that, I think it's good to get away and get a new perspective. I've been able to reacquaint with the golf course, which has been good over the last while. So that's been enjoyable. But I suppose straight away, I'm instantly I think back to the areas of what I could have done better. I think as a coach, there's definitely a lot of learnings there. I'd think back of, I suppose, that did I serve the players as well as I could in certain areas? That's certainly very much of a big part of my thought process. I think the opportunity to improve is gone, obviously, and that's frustrating because, I do think there are areas where we were improving and we could have got better, but obviously that I don't have that opportunity at the moment. I think then personally moving on, I'm a big I suppose supporter and student of sport. I love it, so. Obviously, I've kind of reflected and kind of saw what I can bring to the table in other environments. Actually, for this photo shoot for Electric Ireland, we were in DCU St. Clair's. And I suppose in the other field, I could hear the Dublin team training. And I suppose that was the first time I thought, normally I would have been on the other side of the fence there. And thinking about the opportunity to learn from those guys, to see those guys performing and going about their business. And yeah, you do miss that. And that's the piece that I suppose I miss, is that time with those players, not only as footballers, because we all know how talented they are as footballers, but just as individuals, they are very decent people and they're a credit to Dublin GA. So I definitely have missed that part of it. And obviously looking forward to getting back to see them. Where my future holds, I'm not too sure. I've been able to kind of devote a lot more focus and energy into my work life, my family life, and then socially, as I said, I'm trying to play golf a bit better.
How did those courses down in Kerry treat you? I saw you were down there for a while.
Yeah, the courses were fine. We got hustled by Mr. Donnie and Mike Quirk one day out on the golf course, but nothing new there. So we'll have to get them back on our home ground at some stage. But it was great to play a bit of golf, and at the time it was great to be able to go down and to another part of the world. And obviously there's a big connection between Dublin and Kerry.
Well, hopefully, from a Dublin or Kerry perspective, there might be a meeting this year. And hopefully there is a championship, as you say, rightfully at the start. There is obviously, it would bring so much happiness to everybody, bring so much joy. I presume that if it goes ahead, you are tipping Dublin for a 6 in a row, or have you thought about that yet?
I haven't really thought about it. I think going back to your last question about what you miss, I think definitely coming out of last year's All-Ireland final, you could certainly see that there was a rival on, like in town. And obviously, yeah, we've, like you guys have spoken about the talent of David Clifford and what he's done so far. And like, I think as a champion, you need good rivals. And there's no doubt that this Dublin team are going to get a really strong Kerry team over the next number of years. And that would be really interesting to see how Dublin deal with that challenge. Not only that challenge, but challenges that come from all over the country. But again, I'm interested as a fan to see how this Kerry team develop, because certainly they have the potential and the makings of being a really strong contender over the next few years.
Yeah, it's really exciting times, that's for sure. Just a reminder before we wrap that the ninth year of Electric Ireland sponsorship of the GAA Minor Championships was launched today, and part of it all was Dublin legend Jason Sherlock. Jason, great chatting to you. Thanks a million for taking the call.
Thanks, Alan.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.